halfway. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. That's my sermon. Now, it'd be nice if we could stop there, but when Pastor Jim comes home and finds out that all he did was sing a little chorus and then we moved on, I don't know that he'd be too happy. So I'm going to delve into what it means, what steadfast love, what it means. See, we think we know what love means, and we think we know what steadfast means. But we're going to drill down and see if we can find out what God means when he says it to us and what it can do for us on the inside. So let me pray, and then we'll begin. Father, we do thank you for your steadfast love. We thank you that it endures forever. Help us to have ears to hear that we might be encouraged and uplifted by your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So that's the title. His steadfast love endures forever. Let me say it again. His steadfast love endures forever. Well, I'm going to start in Psalm 117. Now, Psalm 117, so you know, is purported to be the center psalm of the Bible, and that's if you count chapters. You count every chapter, and you get to Psalm 117 as the midpoint. And here's what it says. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. For great is his steadfast love to us, and his faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Two verses, center chapter of the Bible, tiny, is followed by Psalm 118. And I'm not going to read the whole psalm. I am going to read portions of it. But we can understand Psalm 117 is important because it's the smack dab center one. But why would Psalm 118 be important? Well, it's the beginning of the end of the book. So let me read some verses from Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. You see a theme? A little theme there, steadfast love, over and over and over again. Verse 5. Out of my distress I called to the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord's on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph upon those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust princes. You are my God, I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Now, by the end of the sermon today, I'm hoping that those words are imprinted on your heart and on your mind. And not only the words, but the truth of those words. So, I'm going to start by talking about, we're going to go backwards from our readings. I'm going to start at Matthew. Matthew is this parable of the Lord going out and hiring men to work in his vineyard. And he gets the first guys and he decides, here's what we're going to pay you. And they're like, that's fine. And they go out and work. Then he goes back over and over and over again, all day long, hiring more and more people. And then when payday comes, everybody gets the same. And the guys who work 12 hours are grumbling that they only got the same amount as the guy who only worked an hour. And they're upset and angry, even though they got what they agreed on. And what does God say? Can't I be generous? Can't I show steadfast love to everyone? That's the first reading. Then we come to Philippians. In Philippians, Paul's tired. He's exhausted. He's been working in the church. He's been in poverty. He's been in jail. He's been in want. He has people who hate him and want to see him dead. That's outside the church. And then he's got the people inside the church, which are often stubborn and selfish and problematic, and he's always having to correct them and go to them. And he says, listen, I'm tired. I'd like to go to heaven, but you know what? I think I'll stay. I'll stay so that I can minister, because the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever, and it's constraining me to stay. And it's good for you that you can see my suffering, because you might suffer the same way. But without doubt, because the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. And then we come to our first reading, Jonah. Our first reading is the last portion of the chapter 3 and the end of the whole chapter 4, which it ends at. And it's a conversation between Jonah and God. And we're going to try to figure out why that's included in a sermon about steadfast love. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read through the book of Jonah, 4 chapters, and then I'm going to interject Mike Belisisms into them over and over again. So you can read along if you want. I'd rather that you just listen and follow. You can go home today and read the 4 chapters. It'll take you about 5.5 minutes. But let's start with Jonah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. Call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. Now, Nineveh is the capital of Assyria. Assyria is a nation of vicious, violent, corrupt, evil. Their trait is that they go into a town, they murder every man in the town, they rape and steal every woman, and then they take whatever was in the town, and they do it over and over and over again. That's the people of Nineveh. Not good. And God tells Jonah, go to those people and deliver a message. But Jonah arose, verse 3, to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare, went on board to go with them away from the presence of the Lord. Now, Tarshish is over there, and Nineveh is over there. And Jonah is going where he's not supposed to. So, question, why did God choose Jonah? Were there no other prophets in Israel? Oh, I think there were. Were there no more obedient prophets in Israel? I'm pretty sure there were. But God chooses Jonah. Well, when we get further down in the sermon, we'll find out why. Verse 4. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God, and they hurled the cargo that was on the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship, and he lay down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, what do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps your God will give thought to us, that we may not perish. And they said to one another, come, let us cast lots, that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell to Jonah. Then they said to him, tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And who are your people? And Jonah said to them, I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, What is this that you have done? But the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, What shall we do to you that the sea might quiet down for us? For the sea grew even more tempestuous. Now, my nose. That word tempestuous has appeared twice, and it's going to continue to appear. Because when God decides that you're going in the wrong direction, there might be some waves and some winds, and they're not going to let up. Verse 12, he said to them, Pick me up, hurl me into the sea, and the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, and they could not, because the sea grew more tempestuous against them. Therefore they called out to the Lord, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not his innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah, hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered sacrifice to the Lord, and they made vows. Now, the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. Seamen who did not know who this God of the Israelites was just came face to face with him. And now they know, and they can never unknow, that the God of Israel is the true God. Why? Because his steadfast love endures forever, especially towards us sinners. But I have a question, because I'm full of them. Why does this story remind you of any other story in the Bible of another ship that was tossed and turned, and by a Savior who was asleep inside the ship, and his disciples who were rowing, trying to get back to dry land because they were in the midst of a storm, one that was about to overthrow the boat and kill them all? And so they go and they get Jesus, and they're like, get up here, help us row, we are going to die. And what does Jesus do? He says, peace be still. You know the story. Storm stops. And it says that the guys on the boat there, his disciples, were afraid. They had never seen anything like this. Well, if they had read their scriptures, they would have known it happened before. It happened to Jonah. So question, why did Jonah not just repent? Why didn't he say, I'm sorry, Father. I will go and do what you want me to do. Let peace come onto the sea. No, you see, when sin gets a hold of us, it fights against the steadfast love of the Lord. But lucky for us, it endures forever. Well, let's continue. Verse 17, and the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight. Yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. At the roots of the mountains, I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord. From inside the belly of a fish. And my prayer came into your holy temple. verse 8. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah upon dry land. Now, I just want to do something really quick here. I'm going to show you the first couple of verses in Jonah, because I want you to see something. So, Aaron, if you'll put up our first slide. I want you to see in verse 3, it says that Jonah went down, right? He went down to Joppa. And then in verse 5, the mariners cried out, right? And Jonah had gone down into a part of the ship, and he had lain down. Next two verses, Aaron. At the roots of the mountain, he prays, and he says, I went down. I want you to notice Jonah going down, 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 down. Because that's what sin does for us. It takes us down, it drags us down, and sometimes we willingly go down. But lucky for us, the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. Well, let's keep reading. Where am I? But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down. Whoop. Sorry. Let's try chapter 3. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. I have to tell you, when I was reading through Jonah again and again, when I saw those words a second time, I felt like a little knife went into my heart. You know why? Because I have had to hear God not once, sometimes not twice, but 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 times before I've been obedient. Sad words God has to tell us more than once. Yet he does, because his steadfast love endures forever. So the Lord told them a second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. Call out against it the message I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord, finally. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days in journey and breadth. And Jonah began to go into the city. Going a day's journey, he called out, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh is going to be destroyed. That's his message. What a lovely message. 40 days, and the city's going to be destroyed. That's it. Suppose God sent you to Troy to go wander the streets and yell out, 40 days, Troy's going to be wiped out. What a message. There's no hope. There's nothing. That's the message. And yet, the next verse says, And the people of Nineveh believed God. If God sends you to Troy and gives you that message, I guarantee you that he will also cause belief to rise up at his words. See, these weren't Jonah's words. These were God's words. And so they believed. That I'm telling you, that's stunning. A whole city of people believe this simple message. Well, let's continue. The people of Nineveh believed. They called out for a fast. They put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least. Then the word reached the king, and he arose from his throne and removed his robe and covered himself with sackcloth and ashes. And he issued a proclamation, and he published throughout Nineveh, By the decree of the king and the nobles, let neither man nor beast nor herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is within his hands. Who knows God may turn and relent from his fierce anger, that we may not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil way, he relented from the disaster that he said he would do to them, and he did not do it. Simple message. God's words brought belief and repentance into the capital of Assyria. I have to say it all over again: vicious, violent, murderers, rapists. And yet the steadfast love endures forever. So we've seen two groups of people be saved. The mariners, the sailors on the ship, they were saved. Now we have Nineveh, all repenting and believing. And then we get to chapter 4, last chapter. And this is what Jonah thinks about all this. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, "O Lord, isn't this what I said when I was yet in my country? This is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. For I knew that you were a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Therefore, now, O Lord, please take my life from me. It is better for me to die than live." And the Lord said, "Do you do well to be angry? You know what Jonah sounds to me? Sounds like to me? Sounds like someone who's depressed. He's not happy with the situation. He wanted to die when he was back on the boat. He wants to die now. All because he's not happy that God's been gracious and that his steadfast love has been sent out to a group of people he didn't want to see get steadfast love. Verse 5, "And Jonah went down to the city, and he sat in the east of the city, and he made for himself a little lean-to. And he sat under it in the shade, so that he could wait to see what God would do to the city. Now the Lord God appointed a plant, and he made it to grow up over Jonah, that it might be a shade over his head, to save him from the heat of the day and from his discomfort. And Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant." He's happy now. I got a little shade. Life's not so bad. "But the next dawn, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. And when the sun rose, God appointed an scorching east wind. And the sun beat down on the head of Jonah, and he was faint. And he asked that he might die. And he said, 'It's better for me to die than live.' And the Lord said, 'You pity the plant for which you didn't labor. You didn't make it grow. It came into being in one night and disappeared in one night. Shouldn't I have had pity on Nineveh, this great city with 120,000 people and much cattle?'" And it ends. That's the story. We got this disobedient prophet who won't go, doesn't want to go, finally decides he will go because God pushes him and makes him go. And then when he goes, he delivers the message, not happy with the message, not happy with the outcome. All he wants to do is die. And then it ends with God saying, "Well, shouldn't I have pity on Nineveh?" So what's the point? Well, remember I asked that question at the beginning? Why did God choose Jonah? Why did God choose you? Why did he choose me? You see, he knew that Jonah was going to run away. He knew that Jonah was going to not like what was going to happen. He knew it all. And yet, he refused to let Jonah go. He was going to show Jonah that his steadfast love endures forever. You see, Jonah was a project prophet, one of God's projects, just like you and me. disobedient, stiff-necked, stubborn, slow to be obedient, fast to be disobedient. And yet the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. He will not let you go. You may wind up being like Jonah. You may wind up with some tempests, some tempestuous seas. You might wind up with a scorching east wind beating you down. And it might just be that the Lord is trying to show you his steadfast love. You see, Jonah needed to be more than he was. That's my problem. I need to be more than I am. And that's God's job. He wants to make me more than I am. He wants to make you more than you are. He wants to make you more human and more divine. He wants to make you less sinful and more righteous. And he's determined, because his steadfast love endures forever. God has chosen you. And thank God he has. He's chosen me. And boy, every day I get up and look in the mirror, I am tell him how blessed I am that he's chosen me. Because I make Jonah, at the beginning of the book, look like a saint. Because I'm a no good. Well, we'll stop there. I'm kind of curious. I can't wait to get to heaven because I want to find out from Jonah how the rest of his life went. Because I'm positive that God did not stop there. See, I know there are some of you here today sitting, you've gone through hard things. Your life has never been easy. But you know what? God's steadfast love endures forever. And he is going to take you from the beginning of your life all the way to the end of it on earth and then on into heaven with him. Because his steadfast love endures forever. So that's the owner. That's the owner. That's the answer to why God chose Jonah. God wanted to show him what steadfast love looked like. And he wanted to show us by telling us that story what steadfast love looks like. So we know that we can be just like Jonah, and God will not let you go. He's going to keep you forever. So that's my sermon. And what I thought I would do to end my sermon is I looked up the word steadfast, and I wanted to know some synonyms for the word steadfast. And so I'm going to read to you the list that Google came up with for the word steadfast, because this describes the love of God towards you. You ready? The love of God is abiding. It's adamant. It's ardent. It's avid. It's bound. The love of God is changeless. It's confirmed. It's constant. The love of God is dedicated, dependable, determined, devoted, devout, dutiful. It's enduring. The love of God is enthusiastic. It's established. It's faithful. It's fervent. The love of God is firm, fixed, good, immovable. The love of God is impassioned, inexorable. It's intent. It's inveterate. It's loyal. The love of God is never failing. The love of God is obdurate. It's hard-headed. It's passionate. It's persevering. It's relentless. It's reliable. It's resolute. The love of God's responsible, serious. The love of God for you is single-minded. It's solid. It's stable. It's staunch. It's steady. The love of God is stubborn, sure, sworn, tried and true, unbending, unfaltering, unflinching, unhesitating. The love of God's unmovable, unquestioning, unswerving, unwavering, unyielding. And last of all, wholehearted. The love of God towards you, the steadfast love of God, endures forever. Father, we thank you that your steadfast love does endure forever, and that you have taken us and you have chosen us to be vessels upon which you pour out your steadfast love. Thank you. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.